You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, Dad.
Laura, it is great to talk to you. How are you?
I am doing good. It's great to hear your voice, too.
Yeah. What our listeners don't know is we're being a little bit sneaky today. We're both finally co-located in Huntington Beach for the day, but we're in different rooms recording this podcast.
So right. We just had lunch together at Chick-fil-A.
Yes. Great lunch with the grandchildren and with Janet, and now we get to focus a little bit on a podcast.
That was super sneaky. Okay, great. So, Dad, so in our last podcast, we talked about character, the weight of moral authority. And so in this podcast, we're talking about leadership competence. So tell us more. Like, why is it not enough just to have character as a leader? Why do we also need competence?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I think a lot of times, and I think especially with Christian circles, we rightly emphasize the importance of character, the character of a leader. And that's hugely important. As we talked last time, that gives you the weight or the gravitas of moral authority. And we think that leadership is all about trust. And so one of the ways you gain people's trust is by your character. But it can be very frustrating if you're following someone or being led by someone who has great character, but they're just totally incompetent as a leader. Because, you know, after a while, you're going to be looking at that person and thinking, you know, I love being with you, but we're getting nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so I think the idea of competence, which gives you the weight or the trustworthiness of developed ability, is a second thing that you need to be a credible leader.
Yeah, okay, so you said competence is the weight of developed ability. Can you flesh that out a little bit more?
Yeah, it basically is, character is kind of who you are. Competence is what you know how to do as a leader. Like, do you know the basic things to do in leading an organization toward the accomplishment of a vision? Hmm. And it is developed ability, in that a lot of people are born with different gifts that support them as leaders.
Yep.
But you'd have to continue to grow, especially in the competence area of knowing what to do as a leader. So it's important, because if you don't have that, you're eventually going to lose the trust of your followers.
Yeah.
But also, and you're not going to get anything accomplished.
Yeah.
because you just don't really know what to do as a leader. And when we developed the lifestyle leadership model in the late 90s, early 2000, you know, our goal was to find a model that would fit all of life, where I'm the same person leading in the same way, whether it's in my marriage, my family, my career, community, or church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so as we look today at these seven competencies, I hope the listeners will get this isn't just for business.
Yeah.
This is good. For anywhere in which I'm trying to express influence, these seven competencies will add some insight.
Hmm. Awesome. Well, and we should mention that as part of the show notes, we'll be linking a paper called the Lifestyle, is it Lifestyle Leadership Model? Yeah.
Yes.
Lifestyle Leadership Model, pages 9 and 10 specifically. So, listeners, make sure to check that out. Okay, so Dad, and you kind of touched on this, but I've heard you say that especially in the church and in Christian organizations, that Christians can tend to, like, so spiritualize leadership that it ends up having no teeth. So tell us more about that, and how does that relate to this topic of leadership competence?
Yeah, I have certainly observed that through the years. You know, the three C's of lifestyle leadership is character, competence, and commitment. And so I tend to find that when I work with churches or when I work with Christian nonprofits, other Christian organizations, there tends to be immediately an emphasis on the first C and the third C. So a real emphasis on character, a real emphasis on commitment. And that's just, in a sense, part of what biblical Christians really think a lot about, is the character, the kind of person I'm supposed to be, and that I'm making and keeping godly commitments.
Yeah.
But the challenge is, a lot of times, they don't focus on the competencies, because they kind of spiritualize it to be, this is just, in a sense, being like Jesus for people, or this is, you know, the idea of being a servant leader. And so it's mainly just me being a good person and me doing good or kind things, you know, again, character and commitment, but not really knowing what to do in terms of the competence, like how do I lead? And so I think a lot of times in Christian organizations, you see leadership pretty much falling only into those two categories. And that's one reason why in a lot of Christian organizations, new initiatives get bogged down. Because, again, great character, great commitment, but not great competence in terms of how do we move this forward.
So when you're saying it have, like, that it has no teeth, is that just you're saying, like, there's no, it's not moving forward?
Yeah, it has no bite in it. It gets no traction. There's nothing gripping about it. And so it's kind of maintains where we are, and that's not what they want, but unless they're able to exert leadership competence, that's what they end up getting.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Well, and I can even think, I mean, in family life or in just, I mean, a lot of different responsibilities, it can be easy to just kind of like focus on like, you know, being a nice person and maintaining the status quo. I can relate to that personally. So, let's talk about these competencies then. I feel like this is going to be really helpful, Dad. What are the seven competencies, and what do they mean, and why are they important?
Okay, I'll give them all and then give a few details under each of them. And I do want to give full credit here. The first five competencies came from the research that's given in the book The Leadership Challenge by James Couzes and Barry Posner. This book has been out probably 20 years at least. It's gone through several revisions. And it was through their work and research that I came aware of the first five of the seven competencies, and then we've added a couple to that. So we fully recommend listeners to buy the Leadership Challenge. There also is a Christian version of it, and I can't remember exactly the title, but you can kind of Google Christian Leadership Challenge and find it, and it has the same five competencies that we're going to be looking at, but more addressed from a Christian perspective. So both of those books, we certainly encourage our listeners to get. But the seven competencies that we use are challenge the process, inspire a shared vision, enable others to act, model the way, encourage the heart, maintain accountability, and maintain personal perspective and balance. So those are the seven. And Laura, I'll just start with maybe the first two, and then we'll talk about those. Is that good?
That's a great way to do it, yeah.
Okay, so the first two, the first is challenge the process. And this is focus on examining how things have traditionally been done and demonstrating a willingness to examine their efficacy and pursue new ways of doing things. So it's basically like, where are we at and where do we need to get to, and what are some things that if we were to change them, we could maybe get to success quicker. So this can be a business systems process, this can be a hiring process, it can be in a church setting, how we're greeting new people now to kind of how we need to get better at that. Where we see a discrete system or process, a piece of work, and we're thinking about, okay, how do we improve that? How could we do it better? How could we do it using fewer resources? How could we do it in a way that involves more people? To where we're just challenging how we're doing it, not just to change for change's sake, but to change so that we can really improve on what we're doing. And a couple of kind of bullets here is you're searching for challenging opportunities to change, to grow, to innovate, and improve. Mm-hmm. And in those opportunities, you're experimenting and taking risk and learning from the accompanying mistakes. So when you're challenging process, you're not trying to get it all right exactly the first time.
Huh, yeah.
You're really just trying to think through what are some things that we could begin to do, experiment with, that might get us better results.
Yeah.
So that's the first one. Then the second one is inspiring a shared vision. And so as you're thinking through these new ways of doing things, this challenging the process, you begin to bring other people around it so that they can begin kind of hearing what you're thinking, and they can begin to speak into a vision of change. And the idea here is so that at the end, it's not you cramming some vision down their throat, but it's been a collaborative effort at going about defining a vision towards this. A vision's an ideal and unique image for the future identity of the organization or the group. Hmm. And inspiring a shared vision involves two commitments. The first one is envisioning an uplifting and ennobling future, like something that's better than what we have now.
Uh-huh.
And then enlisting others in a common vision by appealing to their values, their interests, their hopes, and their dreams.
Yeah.
Because the vision that you come up with, it has to somehow connect with what's important to the people with whom you're wanting to adopt this vision.
Uh-huh.
To where it connects with their personal hopes, dreams, and interest.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Well, and as you were talking about the second one, I was thinking that makes so much sense, because definitely people are going to have a lot more buy-in when, you know, they feel like they are a part of it, when it actually, like, in some ways fits their skills and giftings. But I was even thinking with the first competency that you were talking about, challenging the process, like that specifically isn't necessarily a strength of mine, but I was thinking, I mean, I guess that's the benefit of getting other people involved, because then you have the strengths of a lot more people. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so if you're one that tends to kind of stay in routines,
yeah,
to bring some people around you that can help you begin to brainstorm about new effective ways of doing that.
Okay.
So Laura, with this inspiring a shared vision, I don't even know if you'll remember this, but when you guys were kids, I think you were probably in middle school and your brothers were a little bit younger.
Uh-huh.
It was like the first week or two of summer, and mm-hmm. we are already getting into pretty bad attitudes where
uh-huh.
everybody's like, I want this, I don't want this, I want to go here, will you give me money for this? You know, just a real kind of demanding thing. And I'm sitting there thinking, good grief, this is going to be a long summer. And so...
must have been Gary.
Yeah, somebody. Somebody other than you.
Definitely not me.
So I got this idea, and so I called this mandatory family lunch. And so, you know, all of y'all were like, good grief, what is that? And so we kind of splurged, and we ordered Domino's pizza, and so we have this lunch. And all of you are kind of like, wonder what this is. And so... as we're eating, I get up and go to the pantry and get a grocery bag, and then go start filling it with cans of food. And then the bag gets full, and then I, one by one, take each of the cans out until there's no more cans in the bag.
Yeah, I totally remember this.
And at this point, the kids were like, he has finally lost it. And so then I say to you, why can't I take any more cans out of this bag? And and so one of you finally said, well, because there's no more to be taken out. And I said, you know, this is exactly the way we're starting the summer, where we're all wanting to take cans out of each other's bags, but we're not willing to put cans back into each other's bags. And we're just taking and taking and taking and not giving.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we've got to learn how not to just be running around demanding of others, but really thinking through, how can I put cans in someone else's bag today?
Yeah.
Not just take out. And it really stuck. I don't know if you remember that, but, you know, for weeks into the summer, you know, there would be one of you'd say, you know, thanks for putting a can in my bag, or you know, that kind of idea. Where what I was trying to do, I could have sat y'all down and just said, don't be so selfish this summer, you know. But what I was wanting to do was like inspire a shared vision of them seeing what that looks like and then cooperating, collaborating with me and understanding and kind of living out this vision.
Yeah, like so that it would become our own value, not just like something you were making us do.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And that same kind of principle can be true, you know, in a business context. You know, you definitely change it around some, but the idea of how do we be a team that really gives to each other rather than just always demanding of each other.
That's great. Great. So, Dad, what are the next two?
So the next one is enabling others to act. And this is where you're basically, as a leader, wanting to empower and enable people to be able to take action on the vision that you've set forward. You're thinking about how do you remove barriers for them to be able to take action and to make sure that they have the guidance and the resources that they need in order to be able to take action. So you're thinking in terms of things like fostering collaboration by promoting cooperative goals and building trust, but then also strengthening people by giving power away, providing choice. Again, these are kind of tools of empowerment, developing competence, assigning critical tasks, and offering visible support. So you're thinking here, okay, we've set the vision. Now, how do we, as quickly as possible, while we're still motivated by the vision, begin to take action on it? Because the longer you spread out from adopting the vision to taking action on it, increasingly you're losing motivation. Because a lot of times the envisioning process can be a very motivating time for a team.
Yeah.
But if there's a lot of lag between that and enabling them to act on it, then the motivation begins to seep out, and really people begin to get kind of discouraged or disconnected.
Yeah. Okay. So two and three kind of go together of like you like cast this vision or create vision together, and then like through that process you are giving other people power to move things forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. And as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And then the next one is modeling the way, to where as the leader, you're not going to do all the work, and you can't do all the work. And if you are doing all the work, you're not leading. You're just doing all the work. But you want to be the kind of leader who, in the part of the job that is your responsibility, you're setting a great example by the way you're doing it. So you're setting the example by behaving in ways that are consistent with the shared values that the team or the organization has. And you're achieving small wins that promote consistent progress and build commitment. So those are especially the things that you're focused on in modeling the way.
Okay, yeah.
And then we get into the five and six. Five is encouraging the heart. You know, people get tired, people get distracted, life kicks in, sickness happens, vacations come up, all kinds of things happen to distract us from the work or discourage us from the work.
Yeah, totally.
And I think in encouraging the heart, what you're trying to do is to really help people stay focused on why are we doing this and what are they doing that's really helping to move things forward, where you're emboldening your constituents towards the completion of the vision. And they have regular constructive feedback, which affirms their successes and encourages the heart.
And so is feedback the primary way that you encourage the heart, like work context?
Yeah, feedback, but not just, a lot of times we think of feedback as being negative, like let me show you the things you did wrong.
Right.
And we tend to think about 90% encouragement, 10% correction. So we want to be giving all kinds of feedback that's affirming what they're doing that's right, and then giving the correction that's needed. And that gets us really into this idea of celebrating small wins, where any accomplishment, any great accomplishment, is really just a series of small wins. And as a leader, you need to be out there with your binoculars every day looking for people who are taking small steps towards accomplishing the mission, the vision, and getting all over them with excitement and affirmation. Because to the leader, a small step may almost seem insignificant because it's something they've done dozens of times, maybe over decades of life. But for a new employee or an employee who's just gotten a new and different assignment that's really going to be stretching them, having a leader that sees when they're taking steps towards it and affirms them in that can really keep their heart encouraged, especially if the goal is one that is a long-term goal that's going to require engagement over a long period of time. So and then the last two are maintaining accountability and maintaining personal perspective and balance. And what we mean by those are maintaining accountability is, as a leader, you've got to lead in keeping your people and yourself and your organization accountable. Mm-hmm. Is outwardly focused in terms of what is your commitment to your organization, to the stakeholders, to the constituents, and you maintaining accountability and leading your people to be accountable in ways that really honor both internal to the organization but also to the community that you're a part of. Mm-hmm. So you're wanting to work with your team to specify their stakeholders and then determine the times, the means, and the content in which you're going to give accountable communication to those stakeholders in terms of what you guys are doing, what you're accomplishing. And then last one, seven, maintaining personal perspective and balance. This is all about leadership. Over time will erode you, it will wear you down, it will wear you out, you'll lose your perspective, you'll get kind of lost in the woods, and no one's going to hold your hand and keep that from happening.
Right.
You have to take the responsibility to maintain the personal perspective and balance you need to keep yourself as a leader in a good place. Mm-hmm. I think this tends to revolve around two commitments. One is to faithfully manage your schedule, your responsibilities, and your commitments in all of your areas of life, but then also regularly plug into sources for perspective and for balance. What are those sources that will refresh me? Is it being out in nature? Is it going for a run? Is it taking a day off? What are the things that I need to refresh me, and finding those things and doing them? So again, the seven are challenging the process, inspiring a shared vision, enabling others to act, modeling the way, encouraging the heart, maintaining accountability, and maintaining personal perspective and balance. And what we're saying is, as we begin to practice these, then along with the character that we have, this gives us kind of the teeth or the traction that's needed to help a team move towards a vision.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, so how, like I know for me, there's at least a couple of these that I know, you know, I could stand to work on. So how do you get started in developing or using these competencies? Like, what are some practical steps to start moving forward?
Yeah, I think three things come to mind. One is to memorize the list. So memorize the seven competencies, because if you don't memorize them, it's going to be hard to keep them in front of you.
True, yeah.
But then as you memorize the seven competencies, then push yourself each day to think through one of your spheres of influence. Again, whether it's marriage, family, career, community, church, whatever the sphere is, and think about, in terms of your influence or your leadership in those contexts, which of these seven would be relevant for you now? Like, in my marriage and family, is this a time of challenging the process? Is this a time of encouraging the heart? In my business, is this a time of maintaining accountability and maintaining personal accountability? Is this a time of removing barriers so that people can be enabled to take action.
Yeah.
To where you memorize the seven and then you begin to look through your different spheres of influence through the lenses that these seven provide, and then begin to imagine, okay, what would that look like? You know, if in my leadership, my lay leadership in the church, in the area I have responsibility, if there's a place where I'm needing to kind of work on my own personal perspective and balance, what would that look like? How would that work out? And again, for the first five of these, Kuzes and Posner's book is a great resource to kind of get more filler on what that would look like. But I've found that these terms aren't really that hard to understand.
Right, yeah.
You know, they pretty much make sense on their own, and it's more just memorizing them and beginning to look through your daily responsibilities through that lens.
Yeah. Well, Dad, this is really helpful. Like, I think my takeaway is just maybe assessing, like taking some time and assessing in my different spheres of influence, like where I do need to grow in competence. Because like you said, I think I'm a person who, focuses on, you know, if I see character deficiencies, I want to be all over that. And if I see, you know, a lack of commitment and important responsibilities, I want to deal with that. But yeah, it's kind of looking at competence and where I need to grow in that. So this is just helpful, I think, for getting my brain going on this. Thanks for sharing. Do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, one last thought is you never get these seven competencies down for like all of life.
Yeah.
Like you will continue to be learning these seven competencies in new and deeper ways as you move into different spheres of influence, working with different groups of people.
Okay.
And even in a family where, you know, hopefully you're dealing with the same spouse and the same children for, you know, the rest of your life, even though it's the same people, as your kids go through different stages and as your marriage goes through different stages, you're still relearning how to apply these seven competencies into those new contexts. You know, if I was with my adult kids today and I felt they were being selfish, I don't know that I'd get out the bag and fill it with cans of food. You know, we would need to think of something. What's appropriate now in terms of building a vision of giving to others rather than just pulling it out? So it's a lifelong of learning around these seven competencies.
Yeah, which I guess just like is constantly pushing us to depend on God, because it is like it's always changing.
And I'm so glad you said that, Laura, because anytime we're talking about growing as a leader, it's so easy to get into, okay, what do I need to do? But one of the things we believe to the core of ourselves at Leadership Edge is that it's all of God. And John 15:5 is ever true, that apart from me, meaning apart from Christ, we can do nothing.
So
we do encourage our listeners to memorize this list and to begin applying it. But part of that whole thing is prayer. You know, God, help me in this situation to see how to challenge the process in a way that honors you and that really helps the people. Help me to know how to inspire a shared vision, enable others to act, model the way, encourage the heart, those kinds of things, to where there's a dependency upon God in all of it. Because I really think that if we go after doing these things and it's not with dependence upon God, it may get some results, but it will not be all that God wants it to be, because He always wants it to be with deep dependence upon Him. So thanks for bringing that up, Laura.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a great wrap-up. So actually, Dad, will you kind of close us out?
Oh, I sure will. Just want to remind you that at Leadership Edge, we're all about building God-honoring leaders through Christian mentoring. Personal vision statement that we teach in all of our mentoring relationships is this: by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And we invite you to partner with us by adopting that vision for your own life, but also partner with us financially. You can go to our website, www.lead-edge.com, and at the very top of the first page, you'll see a donate button. And you can become a financial partner with us and help us to accrue the kind of funding that we need to continue to move forward our services. So thank you for considering that.
Great. Well, thanks, Dad.
Thank you, Laura, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, and thanks, listeners, for joining us. So we've done Character and Competence. In 2 weeks, we'll drop another episode, Commitment. So join us then. Thanks.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.